It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee. And maybe we have somebody out of town. You there? Trying to get at him.
I'm here.
Okay. You weren't hearing me, and we weren't hearing you. And now we are. And
Jennifer Aiken.
How about that? So, I promised everybody last week that today's show was going to be very special. Jennifer is a board-certified elder care attorney out of St. Augustine, but also works in Palm Coast and Jacksonville, I believe.
Yep.
And she is here to answer questions you have on the whole broad spectrum of elder care and asset protection, Medicaid, quality of care, senior ripoffs, estate planning, and over and over and over. I swear we could probably stay here for 3 hours and not,
or more,
but scratch the surface. But if everybody likes what's going on today, I might beg her back again.
We'll see.
Uh-huh. And before we get into our market wrap, well, first off, I want to welcome everybody. Regulars, you know, you're always here, and that's what brings us here always. And if you're new to the show, whether you just found out or happened upon it, listen up. I promise you every week you'll learn something, and I mean it. And if you don't learn anything today, I'll be even more surprised than usual, because this is such a hot topic. Two things that affect everybody out there: your money and getting older. And I can speak a bit to that, because I've done a good deal of that over the last seven decades. So. But it isn't just for us older people that we talk about these things, because planning is everything when you get to that. So I'm going to let Jennifer speak up now and give her a shameless self-promotion minute, so you can figure out a little bit more about who she is, where she is, and whether her services might be of value to you. So take it away.
Thanks, Steve, and hi, Adam. I'm Jennifer Aiken. I'm a board certified elder law attorney here in Florida. So what does elder law mean? What do I do, right? There's a lot of misconceptions about what an elder law attorney does. No, I don't go around and sue nursing homes or anything like that. I actually help people. I help people, you know, with Medicaid planning. Does your loved one need to go into long-term care? Do you want benefits to help pay for that? People hear the word Medicaid and they cringe, but that's not true. That's not this type of Medicaid I'm talking about. I help veterans. I'm accredited with the VA. I help them get a benefit called aid in attendance to pay for long-term care. I do estate planning. I help with trust, wills, power of attorney documents. But if you don't have those in place, we do guardianship, which is the court process of appointing someone to make decisions for you. We also do probate. If you haven't planned and you have to go through the court process of distributing your assets, we help with that. And last but not least, we do special needs law, which means I help families with children with disabilities plan for their future. Our offices are in St. Augustine, Palm Coast, and we have an office here in Jacksonville. Our website is www.jaikinlaw.com, and that's J-A-K-I-N, not A-I-K-E-N.
Right. Not Clay Aiken.
No.
J-A-K-E-N.
I have an amazing team. We're a family-run firm. I have a team of 10. We really care about our clients, and our motto is we make sure you don't spend down on long-term care.
Cool. All right. Now let's get into the market wrap. And then after the first break, we'll have Adam clean up the market wrap. I'll give out the trivia question. And then we get into depth on what the heck is all this elder care business all about. So, Adam, take it away.
Okay, great. I'll try and be brief. I don't want to take any time away from Jennifer. So I just really wanted to talk about the rate hike or lack thereof. The Fed decided to pause this week, which was kind of the expected move, and the market pretty much celebrated it. It was, as soon as the announcement came out, the market actually sold off, and then Wednesday, the Dow stayed down, but the other two indexes rebounded. Then Thursday, we saw a really nice rebound. Friday, we saw a bit of a sell-off, but overall, it was a really good week. I think the market very much appreciated the lack of a rate hike. I don't think another rate hike was needed. And I think the market agrees with me on that one. You saw the Dow end the week 1.2% higher, the S&P 2.6, and the NASDAQ 3.2. Even the small cap index, which has been largely left out of the 2023 rally, has managed to gain 7% in June. So I think I've said this every year for I think as long as we've been in business, but that whole sell in May and go away thing, just ignore it. Don't do it. You'd really, really be regretting it if you had done it this year.
That's the truth. And it usually is the truth, too, that just doesn't carry water over the long haul. So I would ignore it whenever you hear it.
Actually, last year was a terrible year, and as everyone remembers. And actually, if you had bought in June, you would now be up about 17%. So I would say buy in May, perhaps, maybe, not rather than sell in May. If you're following the small cap index, it's really been lagging the rest of the market, but that is not the case so far in June. There's actually been several good signs when it comes to the breadth of the market, and that's one of them. The other one is that value stocks have actually outperformed growth stocks so far in June. That hasn't been the case this year, as growth is up almost 20%, while value is up just 11.4%. But in June, we're seeing a bit of outperformance on value, something we haven't seen in a while. So anytime you see sectors that are not performing as well as others, or parts of the market that are lagging start to do better, that's normally a good sign for the overall health of the market. There's a couple of sectors that are now up more than 30% this year, which are communication services and technology. Technology is up almost, it's actually up just under 40% already this year. Pretty incredible. Consumer discretionary had a huge gain of almost 10% this week, and it's now up over 29% this year, too. However, every other sector in the market is up less than 8%, with energy, utilities, healthcare, and financials are even down. So pretty widespread between the winners and losers. However, in June, we saw industrials and materials both gain almost 9%. So those two sectors are currently up less than 8%, and they both gained 9% in the last couple of weeks. So that's a pretty good sign that maybe the tide is turning on that breadth. I'm pretty – this rally is becoming stronger and stronger by the day. So it's a very encouraging sign for me. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there's just one thing that bothers me. The bullish percentage of the population is growing quickly now, and I don't want them to be bullish. I want them to stay scared, then we can all pick up better bargains. But that's just
me. Everything has gotten so overbought. I think a short term sell off is probably inevitable, and that's usually when you see that bearish sentiment come right back, and then the real rally comes. So that would be a setup that I could make a strong case for in the next couple of months.
Another thing I'd like to, I saw this morning on the TV, one of the big talking heads says 30% drop between now and the end of the year, and I breathed a sigh of relief, because that means not everybody is bullish, and that means he's dead wrong.
Yeah,
I won't promise
that's
that.
The least likely outcome.
Exactly.
But
he got his 2 minutes of fame.
The June rally hasn't really been limited to the U.S. either. We've seen stocks all over the world rally. Brazil is up 15% in June. They just keep plugging away at their gains. Even China, despite a slew of bad economic news, has seen their markets rise 11% in June. China and Switzerland are actually the only two countries that have not entered a post-COVID bull market. So that's how bad the market's been in China. So seeing a short-term rally, probably not too big of a surprise. I still do not like what's happening over there. Every economic indicator in China is going the wrong way right now. Just not a place that I would put a lot of money currently, despite sometimes I like to throw money at the things that haven't done as well as others and hope for that sort of rebound trade. But in this case, I would need to see some major changes in China before I'd put money there.
And I wouldn't hesitate to take some profits in the short term either. Not sell out of things, but take some profits.
Agreed. I actually couldn't find an international stock market with losses in the month of June, and I'm sure one's out
amazing.
There, but I could not find it. That's pretty incredible.
It is very amazing. All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break here in a few seconds, and then we're going to come back with Jennifer Aiken, and we're going to get into the ins and outs, the things you don't know. I would practically guarantee everybody out there that what you don't know about elder care is far in excess of what you do know or think you know. Mm-hmm. And we're going to find that out. And I've got a few questions of my own, but if you want to call in with your questions, you will be put right through as always. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a break. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And I'm Jennifer Aiken.
Jennifer is, I'm going to repeat this every time because I know people tune in at every segment. You just never know. Get in your car or whatever. Jennifer is our board-certified elder care attorney who works out of main office, St. Augustine, but also has office here, another one in Palm Coast, so she's easily reachable. And she knows all about elder care and that sort of thing. And we're going to get to it after one thing. Got a quick trivia question so everybody can call in and take a shot at it. Back in 1980, Ronald Reagan was elected and took office in early 81. At that point, 42.6% of the world's population lived in abject poverty. That means under $2 a day per person. And if that doesn't put shivers down your spine, I don't know what will. We've gotten better. How many percentage of the world's population have gone out of abject poverty because of, largely, the policies of people like Reagan, who created this dynamo we call the economies? So what percentage of the population drop have we had since 1980 in abject poverty? All right, elder care.
Okay.
Number one question we get, maybe not number one, but among the top three questions we get, is about asset protection. Mm-hmm. Do you have to spend every penny mom's got to get her into a home? And if you do, that pesky old look back period could come to bite.
Oh,
I think we're about to
be
contradicted.
No. You don't have to spend down to get care for your loved one, for mom or dad, whether it's nursing home care, assisted living, memory care, even in-home care, right? You don't have to spend down. That's what we do. That's my specialty. That's why I'm board certified in elder law. I'm an expert in making sure you don't spend down on long-term care, because the common misconception is you walk into a nursing home, you say, my mom needs care, and they say, how much money does she have? Oh, she has too much. Private pay us $10,000 to $12,000 a month, and then we'll get her on Medicaid to pay for it. No. There's different planning techniques that elder law lawyers use to make sure we can move the assets and protect them, even though there's a five-year look back, okay? So there's different techniques that can make someone immediately eligible for the benefit. And that's why you have to go in and sit down with an elder law lawyer. Even if mom or dad or their loved one aren't needing care quite yet. Maybe there's a diagnosis of cognitive decline. Maybe there's a little bit of dementia. Maybe mom or dad are in their early 80s and you're not quite sure what are the next steps. Call an elder law lawyer, right?
How much will that cost us?
Well, I do free consultations.
I knew that, but I wanted to ask. There's a lot of people out there who like that price.
Well,
I know, because we do the same thing.
Well, I mean, usually when people come in and sit down with me and they learn about what elder law lawyers can do and just all the different techniques we have and the different planning tools and ways to preserve funds and move things around, they're shocked, right? And they're just, you know, so excited that this can be done. I mean, then that's when we get into the fee structure and talking about what can we do and what's right for your family.
This whole conversation got started a few weeks ago when a good friend of the show called in, mm-hmm. and basically related that story. And it was about how they had to take care of her mother, and it wasn't going well until they got an attorney and they were blown away.
Yeah. I mean,
there's things to be learned here.
And there's so much to be learned. And I think in our office, we're not just there to talk about, you know, what we can do. We have a litany of resources, right? You know, does mom or dad need to move? Where are they going to go? Who do we call to help place them, right? Do they need in-home care? Who are they going to call? Who do I prefer? I've toured, walked, talked to probably every nursing home, every assisted living, memory care in the area. So I keep up to date on complaints, ACA regulations. I also own a care management company, geriatric care management company, which does advocacy. So, you know, I think when people come in and you talk about these different resources and things like that, they don't know what's out there.
No,
and there's not enough of us to, they don't know who to call, right? They just don't know who to call.
Also true.
And most people say, maybe I'll call my lawyer, right? And a lot of times I partner with other estate planning lawyers because even though they're estate planning, doesn't necessarily mean that they know elder law, right? And so a lot of times they do the basic estate planning and I'll come in and do the Medicaid or veterans planning, whatever that looks like.
Okay. What would you say first to say, I walked into your office and said, yeah, I'm getting concerned about my parents and they've got enough money to be comfortable, but they don't have enough to pay for a nursing home, but I see it coming and I want to know, what do they have to do or what do I have to do for them to get them ready to go in to a home? And I'm backing up just a little. I told my kids as they were growing up that if they ever saw me being carried into a Medicaid-approved nursing home to shoot me before the front
door. Well, there's where the misconception is, right?
And that's what I would like to know.
A lot of people think, and I'll get back to your other question of when people walk into my office, but a lot of people think a Medicaid nursing home is what they see on TV, right? Like gross, roaches, kind of thing like that. No, I mean, in the community, every nursing home has Medicaid beds. And so you just don't know it. And so it's when people come into my office, and let's remember, there's nursing home care, right? There's also assisted living and memory care, right, which is a little bit of a different type of more home-like setting, not a hospital-like setting. So it depends on the level of care that you would need. But some of these assisted livings can allow you to age in place even if you need nursing home care. And that's where places like hospice come in, which hospice isn't necessarily end-of-life care anymore. It's maintaining. They can come in and help you maintain a couple
I didn't
days.
Realize that. Everybody probably thinks pretty much like I do.
Right.
When you see hospice pull up, you say goodbye.
Yeah, but that's not true anymore. And so I have people that have been on hospice for 3 or 4 years, and the hospice goes into their assisted living a couple days a week, helps bathe, medication, things, different things that maybe the assisted living can't do. But the goal in my office is to, we want you to age where you want to age. If it's in your home, if you're ready to move, you're ready. Maybe it's nursing home care. We don't have a crystal ball. But I will tell you the first thing when people, if you come in and you want to talk about your parents, the first question is, do you have a power of attorney?
Hey, good point.
Right. And then we go into, what do they have? What's protected? Do they have a homestead? Do they have cars? What kind of assets do they own? Because here in Florida, did you know that if you have an IRA that's in required mandatory distribution status, that if it's, let's say it's $400,000, that doesn't count towards the Medicaid asset limit.
I did not know that.
So there's different, we have countable assets and non-countable assets. And I go through that with families and we come up with a plan together and what type of techniques we can utilize to protect the funds. We go through, what does that look like if they go to assisted living? What does it look like if we want to keep them in the home? Shortage of caregivers. So what are people paying for 24/7 care in your home? $20,000-$25,000 a month easily. I mean, yeah, right. And most people don't have long-term care insurance.
Right. And that's a problem we face constantly. Mm-hmm. Over the years, it's gone from expensive to really expensive to unaffordable.
Totally.
And, of course, it goes up with every year you age. So those of us who've had it a long time, you know, we're still paying a lot, but not that bad, really.
Well, we have some clients that are using long-term care insurance, but there's a cap, so we do hybrid planning, right? Where can we use the long-term care insurance? where does that get us? How many years? What do we do? How do we move assets? You know, this, it's a comprehensive plan to make sure you don't spend down all your money on care. I mean, most of us have, I mean, I've been working since I was 12 when I started a babysitting club, right? But we've paid into the system, right? So why not have Medicaid help us?
We've paid a lot into the system, and especially since about 92 when they lifted the lid on the Medicare portion of FICA taxes and so on. We'll get back to that. We've only got a few seconds here, so we're going to come back. I've got many more questions, and we'd love to hear from you with your questions, so call us now. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm not Adam Van Wee. There's a problem with the phone, but he's going to be on the phone in about a minute or so.
Okay, no problem. And?
Jennifer Aiken.
And Jennifer is here to talk about elder care planning and that sort of thing as a board-certified attorney. And I was discussing in the previous segment that this whole thing got started because of a good experience that a longtime friend of the show had and shared it with all of us. And it kind of got me thinking that there's so much we don't know. And Jennifer and I have just been talking the last 3 or 4 minutes, and I can't believe how many things I didn't know. And I'm in the planning business, so I'm trying to become better at my job so I can help all of our clients do a better job. But there are things that we just don't understand out there, and it's all legal in Florida, at least.
Mm-hmm. And Florida's a great state to need Medicaid in, to be honest with you. I'm also licensed in New York State, and I don't do a lot of planning there because it's a lot different, a lot more rules, whereas here down in Florida, we have a lot of different strategies we can utilize. But the main difference between, I think, New York and Florida, and here's a common misconception, Medicaid's going to take my home.
Right.
Right? And that's where I had a wife call in last week, and she was terrified. My husband has dementia and Alzheimer's. He's about to go into a nursing home. They're going to take everything from me. Well, no one's going to take anything from you, first of all. If we apply for Medicaid, maybe, but nobody comes in and just takes anything, okay?
Let's go back to the difference between Medicare and Medicaid is a very much misunderstood mm-hmm. thing among the public. Give us just a little bit of breakdown as to the difference there.
So a lot of people come in and they think, I have Medicare that's going to pay for care. That's right. Not true. If you go to the hospital, you're there for 3 days, they'll discharge you to probably a rehab center, okay? Mm-hmm. Medicare will pay days 1 through 20, okay? And then after day 20, 21 through 100, there'll be a copay, okay? So Medicare will pick up about 80%, okay? But after 100 days,
you're done.
And if you're going to stay there, you need Medicaid to pay for your long-term care, okay? Now, I just want to mention this. If you have a loved one in rehab and they're telling you that it's time to be discharged from Medicare because your loved one isn't showing signs of improvement, that is not the standard. There's a Supreme Court case that came out. If the standard is not showing improvement, and then within Medicare, the standard is it benefiting my loved one's life? So anybody out there listening, call us if you have a loved one and they're trying to discharge them from Medicare, because you want to try to keep them on Medicare to continue to get those rehab services.
Right. And how do you get on Medicaid? Medicaid is a state program. Medicare is a federal program.
Mm-hmm. And Steve, when we're talking about Medicaid, we're not talking about the programs with food stamps, you know, adult exploitation, which we can talk about later. I love that. But, you know, Medicaid for long-term care, there's two different programs. And so if you want to get on Medicaid, you really need to talk to an elder law attorney, because they're the ones that can look at your assets. We can decide what we need to do to make you or your loved one immediately eligible. Okay, because you have to go through an application process, which is done through the Department of Children and Families. Are you familiar with DCF?
Yes.
Yeah. So think about it. They're inundated, right? They're dealing with different types of issues. And then they have to do Medicaid applications for long-term care. So, you know, and we has the state of there's the Academy of Florida Elder Law Attorneys. We find so many issues with DCF and processing applications. So if you don't have a lawyer doing it, you're going to hit a lot of roadblocks because it's already a disaster. We have a task force within the state of Florida. Mike Jorgensen, a local elder law lawyer, he's the president of the FELA. He's heading that up. But you know, if you're going to try to do it on your own, it's going to be so hard because of what's happening with the Department of Children and Families.
Well, I think right most now. Of us get very frustrated even thinking about doing business with the government, even the state.
And it's
government.
Not as easy as just typing in and submitting online. A lot of clients will say, well, I can just do that. And then they come back to our office and they're like, whoa, like we didn't understand what was going to happen. And we don't even know who to call. You know, my Medicaid specialist, she knows the agents, she knows the supervisors. So there's just different strategies to help. Not to say that we can do a Medicaid application any quicker than anybody else, but we can stay on top of it. And we know the right people to call if something's going wrong.
Good. I'm just a little aside here. We have been informed that our phone system here at the station has pretty much gone out to lunch, and we're trying to get it back. So keep trying, please. I'd love for people to get through, and I have no idea what's actually going on here, but please keep trying. All right, I think most of us understand that if you're already Medicaid eligible in there, your path is probably pretty well set anyway. I think it's the people who have assets that have the most to lose, so to speak, by doing it wrong, and the
Correct.
Most to gain by doing it right.
Correct. Like I said, people with assets, they're going to be told, you know, spend it down, mm-hmm. and then we'll get you.
I hear that all the time.
And it's not true. It's just not. And I encourage you to call me, call our office, ask questions if you're told that. Because like we talked about before, there's protected assets out there. You know, but we see this all the time. I had a nursing home tell a client, literally go into the client's room, have them call their IRA company, literally tell them to cash it out and have them send the check to the nursing home. And like, seriously, blows my mind that somebody would do that when that is a non-countable asset. They never had to do that and could have gotten on Medicaid. So
that's unbelievable. I've got a phone call coming in on my phone wire, and I don't think I can pass that through to the station. So, Lane, I don't know how to handle this exactly. It's not happened before.
It's okay.
Keep trying the 904-222-8255, and Tom's in there busily trying to diagnose the nature of our problem. But Lane is the guy that called him and had the good experience model that he wanted to tell us about. So that's where I first started getting this idea for today and learning a little bit. All right, well, what's the most typical, shall we say, just a phone call from the public, come in and talk to Jennifer meeting? Is there one that's typical or common?
The most typical one is, you know, mom or dad or loved one is in hospital. They're telling us they have to go to a nursing home. We can't afford a nursing home. We only have $100,000 in assets. Do we have to sell our home? Are we going to lose our home? I mean, they're frantic, right? People don't, because here we are, people don't know what they don't know. And they're scared, right? We're talking about long-term care. Everybody dreads long-term care.
Yeah.
Everybody says, I don't ever want to go to a nursing home. I don't ever want to, you know. But sometimes you have to. Like, sometimes you can't stay at home. It's not safe. But that's where my other company comes in, to come in and assess, can you stay in your home,
okay.
right? But then we have to look at, we have a lot of caregivers call in, right? I'm taking care of my loved one. I'm tired. I don't know what to do. I promised them I would never put them in an assisted living or nursing home. And sometimes I have to have tough conversations. And it's not that I want someone to have to go to an assisted living or nursing home, but I just had a case where a husband was trying to take care of his wife, and he ended up passing away before her.
Oh, boy.
I mean, within months. And even I had told him, I'm like, you need to get help. You need help. You are both in your late 80s. You cannot physically keep changing her, carrying her. I mean, and my prediction was right, you know, and it's so sad because now she's in a nursing home. Kids are in Pennsylvania. We're trying to get a guardianship because they didn't have any documents in place, no power of attorney or anything. I mean, it's a really sad situation. But caregivers, number one, are caregivers that just don't know what to do. And I made these promises. Okay, well, if we're going to try to keep them in the home, what benefits can we use to keep them in the home to pay for care? Because you need help.
Right. And it can be 24/7.
It could be 24/7, you know, and I get it. We want to stay in our homes. I mean, my father's the same way. Don't ever do that to me. And it's hard for me, you know, and he's aging. He's going to be 80 soon. And you know, what's our plan? What's our plan? You know.
All right. One thing that I meant to ask a minute ago, when you say you need a power of attorney, you're talking about a durable power of attorney?
You need a durable power of attorney.
And that allows you to do things as long as they're alive.
Correct. Correct.
But then one day they're not.
Well, then you better make sure you have a good estate plan in place.
Yeah.
A trust or a will, something with direction, right? Or you're working with your financial advisor, making sure you have beneficiary designations set out, right?
Well, that's one of the things we're very, very careful about, making sure that beneficiary designations are up to date. There, you see a lot of them where, well, you know, I meant to change that, and some things happen, and here and there, whatever, and it doesn't happen. But I don't think most people understand that a durable power of attorney
ends
stops.
Yeah. It ends.
It's only as durable as the person who granted it.
We get that phone call a lot. My mom just died, but don't worry.
I've got a power of attorney.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, I am worried.
Yeah. But I understand that completely. Do you have a preference between a will and a some kind of a trust, be it revocable living or whatever?
I'll give you my favorite lawyer answer. It depends on the type and the family dynamic and what the plan is. I mean, I'm not trust happy. We're in like just always like you need a trust. Yes, a trust does avoid probate, the court process of distributing your assets, which some people want to avoid. Is it always necessarily bad though? I mean, sometimes court oversight isn't so bad if you have not so good executors, personal representatives, or beneficiaries.
Another one that drives me crazy is people believe that a living revocable trust means asset protection.
It does not.
I tell them over and over.
Yep.
All right, we're going to have to take another break, and when we come back, I want to talk about some of the forms of asset protection that work best for people in Florida, because that really is, in our practice, one of the biggest deals. People come in, they've got to protect their assets, and you know, mom's got a trust, and what does that do? And tell me, it doesn't do much of anything, except keeps it private and out of court. You don't have to put it in the newspaper. But are your assets protected by that? No.
No.
And this leads directly into things like the special needs trust and that sort of thing that a lot of people have problems with those nowadays. I will be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee, and I don't think we have Adam on the line yet. Still working on the phones. And
Jennifer Aiken.
Once in a while when we get a guest in, it's almost more likely that some technology glitch will happen.
It's me, Steve.
Yeah,
it's me. I'm telling you. Like, I put me on a computer, and I call in, and trust me, technology hates me.
It's funny. Anyway, we've been talking about so much in the breaks, and a lot of it is just plain old misconceptions. That's the big thing. So from a standpoint of a financial planner, the biggest deal is things like asset protection. Mm-hmm. And everybody has seen these full-page newspaper ads, living trust seminar, protect your assets, all that stuff. All those people are doing is they're trying to have you divulge how many assets you have so they can sell you the biggest annuity that money can buy. And we see it over and over and over. And it is absolutely, just drives me crazy because, as I said, my pet peeve is what people do to older people, and in particular in Florida, just because there's so many of them/us, and it bugs me. But anyway, asset protection 101 for mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go?
It depends.
Well, you know, in our business, we always say somebody asks the question, that we'll answer it with a question.
Mm-hmm.
That's not dissimilar at all.
Well, I mean, let's talk about, I mean, if we're doing some proactive planning for mom and dad, you know, there's not any type of, I mean, maybe they have some heart issues or things like that, but nothing like dementia or, you know, there is that 5-year look back. So if we're not talking about living trust, right, because that doesn't do anything except for avoid probate. But maybe we do something called an irrevocable trust, right? And people get scared to hear that term, but they shouldn't be, because even though, you know, mom and dad are your hands off of your assets, somebody you trust is in charge, and they have access to those assets for your lifetime, okay? So it's not totally locked up, and you can put things in there like a trust protector. What does a trust protector do? Make sure that your trust is being taken care of and your intent is honored.
Is that a person or a thought, that trust protector?
It depends on what the client wants. Sometimes they'll typically name somebody, like a lawyer, to be their trust protector. Sometimes I just give the option of being able to call upon a trust protector provision where our office can appoint someone if they think there's an issue. A court can appoint someone if there's an issue. I mean, we have a trust right now where, you know, mom was exploited by nephew. Nephew did an irrevocable trust. He's the sole beneficiary. He's the trustee. Luckily, there's a trust protector provision in there. Trust protector is nephew's friend, but we can also use a court to appoint trust protector and see what we can do.
What do you do once the money's gone?
Exploitation.
I've told Jennifer before we got started on this thing, the most recent number I hear is from ARP, and ARP and I don't have a lot to talk about, but we do have this to talk about. ARP estimates that the seniors take an $28.3 billion hit annually from financial exploitation. Probably the hardest question anybody could ever have to answer. How do you avoid losing assets through exploitation of seniors when you know they're sitting home lonely and the phone's ringing and they answer it and this nice young man is there, or perhaps they met this nice young man at church or something like that, and all of a sudden it's $20 here and $75 there. Are you big on the concept of having the trusted friend account or something like that, where anything that comes through that's unusual, there's a secondary person you can ask?
A convenience account. Yeah, we can use those.
That's something we've started because we've got this problem out there.
And also, I mean, like I said, I'm not huge on trust, but as your loved one ages, I mean, and if they have those assets that are sitting there, like their home, I mean, cash, I mean, put it in an irrevocable trust. We had a client whose mom passed away and they were worried about dad. I mean, he's a great guy. They were like, but what if the casserole lady comes over, right? And so what do we do? He has all these assets. And so the father was fine with it. We put him into an irrevocable trust. We left out a big chunk for him. So it wasn't like he had nothing.
And he could receive income from the trust?
You can receive income from the trust if you decide. Or there's the lifetime beneficiaries can access the principal if he needs something. I mean, there's options. But we did it for my father. We put his assets into an irrevocable trust.
Can someone do that based on the power of attorney they have? Can they set that up?
If the power of attorney authorizes it.
Okay. I know that there's the world of powers of attorney has really changed.
Since 2011. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The enumerated power is where, especially that power to create trust is initialed, is really important. And then you have to look at, you know, gifting, you know, can someone say, oh, son is trustee of the trust, but he's not supposed to gift to it? I mean, there's just lots of different things that can go into that.
Yeah, we got impacted by the 2011 changes in Florida also, because we had a lot of people with living trusts and that sort of thing. And all of a sudden, the finances weren't as protected from the trustees and so on as they were. So there have had to been some changes in that sort of thing, too. And, of course, the lawyers drew it up, so we always say the lawyers will win one way or the other.
Right? No. But I will say this. I mean, ask questions and get involved in your loved one's life. Like, don't shy away from it. I mean, you know.
What about the fact that in the older generation, you didn't talk about cancer, you didn't talk about welfare, and you didn't talk about money?
Right.
Period.
You have to, and it's uncomfortable, and you have to, because this is what happened. I mean, we are in a time where exploitation is on the rise, and it's not just through these outside third parties. We have family members exploiting loved ones. I have a daughter exploiting her father right now, and it's I mean, it's terrible. And it's not just financial, it's emotional, right? And there's isolation. And this is happening all the time. And you have to look out for it. You have to ask questions, and you have to have those uncomfortable conversations. And even if it's bringing mom or dad to an elder law lawyer, or maybe they trust a little bit more to talk to someone else face to face, but you have to get them in front of somebody. You have to talk to them.
I surprised a lot of people with a piece of trivia many years ago, probably even before we started this show, that about 80% of parents would like to have their kids more involved in their finances. About 80% of kids would like to be more involved with their finances, and no one will bring
it
up.
Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about it. Talk about it.
I remember a personal story here when my mom had been a widow for a long, long time when I first got involved in financial planning. And after I'd been doing it for a little while, I asked her if she wanted some help with her own stuff. And she basically said, I was hoping you'd ask.
Aww.
And she had worked for a utility and had a whole bunch of their stock, and it was right at the peak. And despite having some taxes to pay, we dumped it in two pieces over a couple of years, and it went down, and it's never, ever reached that level again. So we diversified her and did all that stuff. But it was a classic example of nobody will broach the subject either direction, but everybody's relieved once you do.
And most of the time they feel like they're going to be a burden if they ask.
We've got a million old sayings and a million things we hear all the time. And the one, everybody in my family can complete this sentence real easily. I never want to be a burden to anyone. And you'd be absolutely amazed how many people say that. You probably wouldn't, but we seem to be. And it's human nature, I guess.
Right? Yeah. There is a great book out there. It's called Successfully Navigating Your Parents' Senior Years by Star Bradbury. Mm. It just came out, and I highly, highly recommend. It goes through the things like we're talking about, getting an elder law lawyer, talks about having those tough conversations, how to broach those conversations. You can get it on Amazon, but it's something that I even read. I mean, I didn't become an elder law lawyer.
Give me that name again.
It's called Successfully Navigating Your Parents' Senior Years.
I'm starting a book list. People have been asking on the show that I want to know more about whatever topic. Do you have a book for it?
Yeah.
And I will get that, read it, and if I agree with you, I'll stick it on our website.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
And I'm sure I will if you found it interesting. We don't have much time left. I did want to devote a little bit of time to special needs. There's a whole class of people out there that we would classify as special needs. Some of it's autism. Others could be drug-related or whatever. There are some that are reasonably functional. There are others who are nonverbal. There's everything in between. What do you do?
You call an elder law lawyer. Because believe it or not.
That was the right answer.
Because believe it or not, special needs planning falls under elder law. Okay. And so as many of my close friends and family know, I have a special needs child. He's very high functioning. So something very near and dear to my heart to help families. But I think for families, their biggest fear is what happens to my child if I'm not here? Because no one's going to take care of my child like I do.
I hear it all the time.
And so there's just different things we can talk about. I can help you. I can help you make a plan because you can't depend on a sibling. You know, you just don't know what's going to happen after you pass. Death and money do things to people. You need a solid plan in place to make sure your child is taken care of.
There's a corollary to that we use a lot too. If you want to see the worst come out in everybody, attend the reading of the will.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Money does things to otherwise sane people. And I know with the rise of the special needs people, it's getting nothing but worse. We'll fix it by next time.
Hopefully.
I hope you come back. Thanks for everything. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Thank you.
AM 600 WBOP Jacksonville.